You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
What is a sunburst? No, you haven't tuned into the wrong podcast channel. This is the MSP Zone, and we're talking about sunburst. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the sunburst variant or attack that occurred some time ago, and what that means to MSPs. We're going to unpack a lot of that, of how the attack actually happened, why it was successful, and then what can MSPs do to protect themselves and to protect their customers from future variants of that style of attack, should it occur. And, you know, with anything, when it's successful, I think we all know they'll probably try it again or something closely aligned to that method of attack. And I can't do this stuff alone, so we've very pleased to have our former guest from a previous MSP Zone episode, Brian Stoner from Stellar Cyber, on the program today, joining us. Brian, welcome back again.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me back, Charles. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so I'm sure you guys are nice and cold and enjoying the snow in Chicago these days.
Yeah, I curse the end of the driveway every time the plow goes by.
What better segue than to talk about the sun, and specifically sunburst? Now, albeit there's probably some of our members who are, you know, more into the security stuff, and they read the updates and the analysis, and they probably know this. But I would say a vast majority of the common MSP population out there may not be familiar with this. So for those out there who may not understand what sunburst is, could you give us a quick just summary?
Sure. So to boil it down, right, the sunburst attack is very similar to any other type of attack where the attacker tries to get access within a network leveraging a tactic. And in this case, the tactic was a software update with SolarWinds. So once the user updated that software, they essentially downloaded the malware onto their server in their data center that hosted SolarWinds. And from there, it unpacked itself and made an outbound connection to let the attackers know that it was loaded successfully.
So not a, I mean, what makes it unique then? I mean, you know, I guess every variant, it changes something. It improves upon an attack. Or at least that's how I envision it. But what say you?
Well, I think what's unique about it is that it was from somebody that a lot of people really trusted. It was a software vendor. This wasn't a phishing attack where somebody clicked on a bad link or opened a bad file in an email. It wasn't a brute force attack where the attacker scanned your network and found a server and exploited it. This was one where you essentially trust your software vendor to not provide you with malware in their updates, and here it is. But that's not really the end of the story, because once it unpacks itself and calls home, the next thing that it does is it begins to move laterally and to look for the things that the attackers wanted to exfiltrate. So lateral movement is kind of the second thing that happens. And then ultimately, if they find, you know, a SQL server, or they find another endpoint that isn't patched properly, they can either load ransomware, they can load any number of things. But ultimately, with this attack, I think the attackers were looking to exfiltrate, you know, data. And so the lateral movement would look for that data, and then you would see potentially some sort of outbound communication to try to take that data out of the network.
So just to be clear, my you know, SolarWinds has updated or provides some guidance and updates on their website about what they're doing. I don't think anyone in the world would think that this was intentional on their part. In fact, I think that there's some evidence to suggest that this was a, you know, a vulnerability through an older version of their software platform that had it been patched would have been solved, but that's for another time. Explain lateral movement for those who aren't rugby or football fans and don't understand that concept.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone who has maybe an endpoint security tool has heard of lateral movement, right? The AV providers, the EDR providers, everybody knows that lateral movement is normally not a good thing. So what that means is if a host gets compromised, the attacker will run a scan on the inside of the network to look for additional devices that are connected to the network. And when they find them, they'll try to identify what applications they're running and look for ways that they can exploit those machines. What we see in a lot of the 360 degree views that we provide in our solution really help illustrate that, because you can see all the different external actors trying to compromise a particular host, let's say with a brute force type attack. Then once they're successful in getting a toehold in that machine, next they again scan the network and look for, you know, vulnerable hosts. And they can do any number of different things, you know, once they find those other machines. But those are kind of the telltale signs that you've got a bad actor in the network. And once you have that bad actor in the network, they do those things really low and slow, so they don't set off alerts very easily. You know, unless you're collecting that information within your network or even within your virtual server farms or things like that, to get that east-west communication traffic, you have to have sensors in the network to get visibility into those things.
And is the risk or the danger of this happening not that that the MSPs are traditionally looking outside of the network to things that are, you know, bad actors trying to penetrate? Is it in this case, it sounds like they're already in, they're performing relatively benign things such as a scan, which many MSPs do themselves to protect their customers' networks. Is that the nature of what makes this so dangerous?
And difficult to detect or understand sometimes.
And difficult, yeah. Good point.
Yeah. So I think what the MSP should know is that you don't have to build a full SOC or buy a complicated SIM to get this visibility. There are simpler tools like Stellar Cyber where you can deploy a virtual sensor in a network and get that visibility. That's really the key. You can get some of it from an EDR tool, but the EDR tool is really just looking at the endpoints that have that software loaded onto it. They're not going to see printers and servers and, you know, things of that nature. The other piece is that when you kind of look at graduating from being an MSP to being an MSSP, a platform like Stellar Cyber helps provide the glue that connects that endpoint security with the firewall, so you get a fuller picture of what's happening. So you can make recommendations to your customers and detect the things that matter.
So I'm gonna get to SIM and SOC as a service and those types of concepts, because I think that's where we're headed as an industry. I think, you know, already some MSPs have taken that leap. But let's talk about legacy MSPs and legacy tools. So for the MSPs out there that are largely still protecting their customers with endpoint, you know, a firewall family of tools, hardware, and software, to tell us why that is not enough.
The challenge is those tools, like a firewall, is really just a traffic cop for the network. It monitors inbound and outbound communication. And if you tell it to block something, it blocks it. Some of those firewalls have machine learning built into them today, but the majority of them don't, especially the inexpensive ones that an SMB customer would typically purchase. I think on the endpoint security side of things, a lot of those customers might buy an AV product or an endpoint protection type product. Some of the new ML-based variants are good. But if you don't have EDR, you're definitely not going to be able to detect things like lateral movement happening within their user base or within their network.
And just so I'm understanding you correctly, the guidance isn't to do away with traditional firewalls, or is it? Are we talking about replacing, or are we talking about layering firewall on top, you know, and then on top of that, you know, kind of a SIM service, which we'll talk about shortly?
Yeah, we're talking about connecting them, really, and gleaning more context from the information that the firewall and the endpoint security are providing. Today, they look at things in a silo, and you may have a firewall vendor who has an AV product as part of their suite, but most of them are just using rules-based detection. A rules-based detection either is or it isn't. The event either meets the rule or it doesn't. What the attackers do now is they change up their behavior ever so slightly so that it doesn't trigger the rules or an alert within those, you know, kind of combined platforms. So what Stellar Cyber has done is we take the metadata out of the logs from the AV and from the firewall. We pull that metadata out and we put it into a standard format that we can store in the data lake in our product. And we can create machine learning based detections that cut across that data to connect disparate things and to highlight things that would relate to something like a sunburst.
So we're not talking about a lack of data for the average MSP. We're talking about a lack of actionable analysis on the available data that the MSPs are ingesting through whatever their firewall platform happens to be.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay. So that takes us to SIM, right? So, I mean, for the last couple of years, we've been on this kick of, you know, MSP needs to become MSSP, whatever that means. I think undoubtedly SIMs have taken up a larger amount of our bandwidth as a profession, right? We're talking about it a lot more. I think we talked about it on our last episode when you were on. Can you just explain for the audience what, in your view, a SIM product is and compare that to a SOC? And I know that there's a lot of similarity because a lot of MSPs use interchangeably that term SIM and SOC. What's the best way you would describe that?
So a SIM, very simply, is a log collection tool that you build rules against the logs to see behavior after the fact. It is a reactive, you know, way to collect data from multiple security sources, put it into a standard format. A lot of them have, you know, case management and other things built into them. But for the most part, what SIMs require is someone to manage those rule sets. And that puts pressure on the people that are running your operations to have to do that for the customers that purchase that service.
They need intelligence, is what you're saying.
Intelligence is a whole separate, you know, area of that, because once you get that data in and you're doing detections, SIMs normally don't integrate threat intelligence. They allow you to import it and try to create rules to detect things that you would glean from threat intelligence, but it doesn't automatically tell you if something that's in threat intelligence is happening on the network. So again, it's very manual in a lot of ways to integrate threat intelligence into the operation of a SIM.
Got it. Okay. So again, going on this concept that I like the way you described it, which is the MSPs are getting the information that they largely need, but they probably are not making that information actionable. They're not applying the intelligence, and it's not to say that they're unintelligent. It's just that there's so much data here that they don't know how to unpack it and to make sense of that and to do things like you suggested, determining whether there is that lateral movement going on inside a network that the traditional firewall is just not going to throw out a red flag warning and say to them, hey, you have a problem. So now go to the average MSP, right, who does not want to create like their mid-market or enterprise counterparts, and it's not just with them, but you know, those players traditionally do build their own SOCs that have SIM tools and do the analysis. Explain to us kind of your methodology of how, you know, the folks over at Stellar Cyber are taking that information, ingesting it, and then making it actionable for the average MSP at that average level.
Sure. So at a high level, essentially what we've done is we've combined the functionality of an IDS sensor, which we've built that is part of the product. We've added the data lake and the ability to collect data from every source possible. It could be their SaaS applications. It could be they're using Office 365. Maybe your customer's using AWS cloud services. We can ingest data from all of those things. And that's why we consider our platform XDR, because we can ingest data from any source of any service that the customer is using. We put it into that data lake. Once it's in the data lake, we also enrich any event that we see with over 15 different sources of threat intelligence. So now when you're seeing the event, we can tell you the reputation of the IP address or the file or whatever's involved in what's happening. Not only can we do that, but we create different detections modeled after the Lockheed Martin kill chain, which is a whole separate discussion. But what that means is we have a very simple way of demonstrating how bad something is based on the kill chain. If somebody's just scanning a network, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That could be your, you know, quarterly scanning for PCI. But when there's exfiltration happening, I think we can all pretty much agree that that's bad. Once we detect something like that, from the alert, we actually have integrations out to the firewall and out to the EDR tools, so that if we determine there's a bad actor in Russia that has a tunnel all the way back to a compromised server on our network, we can say, go block that on the firewall right from the event. So you don't have to go log into the firewall and do it manually. We're really simplifying the workflow for the partner. Once that's done, if that's something that happens on a frequent basis, we even have playbooks that you can create where you can automate remediation in events like that. So it becomes automatic and you're essentially training it. But I think what partners really need to understand is something that a lot of partners gloss over when they say that they have machine learning. There's really three different types of machine learning. The first type is supervised machine learning, where you know something is bad, right? We have a file, we know it's malware, we know it's bad. We can give a bunch of samples to the machine learning and it can learn to recognize a bad file. And that is built into our platform right out of the box. If something's bad, we detect it and we can help you block it. The second type of machine learning is unsupervised. This is the type of machine learning where we learn what's normal, leveraging the machine learning on the individual tenant for your customer. Essentially, what we're doing is we're baselining what normal is for that customer. When do they start work every day of the week? Or what days of the week do they work, right? Do they ever log in at 3 a.m.? Those things can be anomalies. And those things could even indicate something like a sunburst, where it looks like normal behavior, but it's abnormal for that environment. And then finally, we've integrated adaptive machine learning. When we trigger an event, if it's something that, you know, is a scan and we know that it's going to happen on a regular basis and it's not something that we should be concerned about, we can exclude that from the machine learning, and we call that adaptive machine learning. So those are the three types of machine learning. And I know people gloss over that all the time, but I just wanted to explain that real quick.
No, I think that's really helpful because I mean, people resources, as you know, is very, they're very precious in the IT sector, even more so in the cybersecurity sector. And I think that anything that we can do to amplify the reach and the resource of the average MSP, the better. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that this is really a path towards, number one, the not even next evolution, it's here now. I mean, this is a methodology that can and probably should be implemented right now to augment existing traditional firewall, IDS, IPS types of MSP tools. True?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other key thing is that there are going to be a lot of suite manufacturers that add XDR on top of their SIM and their firewalls and their EDR and everything else. But I think for the normal MSP that's out trying to get referrals and grow their business, it's really difficult to get customers to rip and replace all of those things so that they're on a standard platform. And the great thing about OpenXDR is that there are hundreds of parsers and dozens of connectors to different APIs out of the box. So, you know, if you standardized on SonicWall or Fortinet, but, you know, you ran into a new prospect that has Barracuda, you don't have to tell them to buy a new firewall. You can just use the Barracuda to collect the data and provide the protection just like you would the Fortinet through one standardized platform.
Yeah, less disruption while increasing your security posture.
Exactly. And as I mentioned before, the key there is the more sensors that you have collecting that metadata, the more accurate the system can be, and the more you're going to get benefit from the three different types of machine learning, because instead of dealing with rules and alerts and false alarms and other things, you're just going to get the high fidelity things that you really need to pay attention to so that you can detect something like Sunburst for your customers even before it becomes a public event.
Something tells me that IoT devices are going to play a very big role in XDR in the future. I mean, I could be wrong on that, but that when you talked about the more sensors you have, I mean, IoT is going to be feeding a lot of data, but it's also going to be, you know, opening up a lot of entryways into networks.
And that's the great part about the open, XDR platform is that within a couple of days, if we can get a log sample, we can create a parser. We can get that data into the platform. We can begin learning what normal is. And, you know, within a few days, you can start getting alerts on things that are abnormal. And all you had to do was implement the parser in the product and collect the logs.
I like it. Well, you make it sound so simple, Brian. So that's why we have you back on the show, because you do a great job of unpacking the complicated. Quick reference for those out there who are interested in either continuing this discussion with you and your team, or maybe they want to, you know, take a test drive of your technology over there. What's the best way for them to reach out to you guys?
Sure. www.stellar.ai is our website. And you can always reach me at brian@stellarcyber.ai or 630-796-5050.
Well, again, thank you very much, Brian, for being on the MSP Zone, explaining all of this stuff to us. And, you know, for those of you out there listening, definitely, talk to Brian, his team. He's been in this industry for many, many years. He knows a lot. And I think that this is really useful information because, as I see it, right, Sunburst was successful. Yeah, it was caught and it's being remediated. But if it was successful, my thinking is it's going to be tried again. And if it's going to be tried again, you better be prepared. And, you know, if the traditional tools are not enough, then, you know, we can only say you've been warned. It's something that you should probably be preparing for tomorrow, because it's likely going to happen again. Brian, thank you for being on the program again. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Charles. Thanks for having me.
This is Charles Weaver with MSP Zone. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.